You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
We're here. We took the summer off.
We should do like a Wayne's World.
Yeah.
And we fast forwarded now to August.
Let's do the Scooby-Doo ending. my wife just bought me Wayne's World on VHS. She's in Washington visiting her parents and was at like a garage sale or something and took a picture of it. I was like, just buy it. I have no way of playing it, but just buy it. I just want to put that up and somewhere. I'll hang it on my wall. Just a lone VHS copy of Wayne's World.
That reminds me, when we were in Nashville, there was a pizza place like right by the hotel I was staying at. And I forget what it was called. It was good pizza. I went there basically every day I was there because, you know, I like to eat. So I just get a slice on my way to the conference or on the way back.
Yep.
And they had like a mini combo TV VHS player.
Yeah.
And just a stack of classic movies on VHS.
Yeah.
And every time I went there, another one was playing. So it'd be like
nice.
Goonies or, you know, something like that. Star yeah. Wars, whatever.
I'm into it. I love the nostalgia of the old stuff. I don't know what to say. I have like five
I love it too.
Horrible cameras that I like using, video cameras that I like using for all my wastoid stuff. It's all coming back. People are getting sick of new technology. They want the old stuff.
Well, the old stuff.
I don't know what we're doing here with all this new technology. We got to start embracing.
I barely
the old
know
stuff.
How this stuff works,
guys. Yeah, we're here to announce in Waveform episode 11. Wavelake is becoming a cassette company. We're pivoting out of the digital distribution lane.
We could still put like payment requests and things encoded via sound onto the cassettes.
Yeah, we should do stuff. There's that guy. You could decode it, pay it. The dude that we met in Nashville that gave us the cassettes.
Bitpunk FM.
Yeah, Bitpunk FM. Shout out to that dude because he's doing some really super weirdo stuff and it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the analog stuff. I'm looking at my 4-track recorder as we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Because I've been messing around with it again. Yeah, the old stuff has an aesthetic to it. It has a sound. It has limitations.
That's what makes it the most fun.
Exactly. If you're creative, like sometimes you need that. Sometimes having too many choices can just cripple you.
It forces you to be good or embrace the bad.
Yeah, or make the most out of the bad, and then it ends up sometimes sounding cool.
Yeah, usually it sounds a lot cooler. It's funny because you go listen to like any old record, especially go listen to like the Kinks or something, because they were so sloppy. They were like the sloppiest mainstream band ever. But you don't even
think so.
Oh yeah, but what I was going to say is you don't really notice it though. You don't notice it until you really listen. Like go listen to, like, you know, I don't know anything post the like British Invasion era. So like you know, Muswell Hillbillies and stuff. I mean, it's just really loose. It's just like super loose. I mean, they were incredible. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. I'm just saying they played pretty loose. Like they had a groove and it was like their thing and they didn't care about, you know, being super, super tight, like maybe ELO would or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Lynne's on the opposite side of the let things just be loose.
There's
side,
a Jeff
that spectrum.
There was an ELO documentary that came out, I think, when Jeff Lynne re-recorded. I told you my brain's not working this morning, but whatever that song was that had like Mr. Blue Sky, or the album that had Mr. Blue Sky, it's called. I forget what it's called. But he re-recorded
it. Yeah. He did the whole album like Taylor style.
Yeah, and there's sort of a film that. Goes along
out of
it.
The blue. Sorry,
out of the That's blue. Thank called. You. Yeah, I knew blue was in there somewhere. And it's insane to because he's doing it with I'm assuming at the time modern stuff, but just to think he's re-recording it with modern stuff But then as you're watching that happen, you're realizing, but he originally recorded this with old stuff and it sounds just as tight and just as insane. It's just great. It's crazy to think some people were so good at that stuff, or listening to engineers talk about how they used to, you know, have to edit things and organize tape, and they would, you know, be up until the sun came up cutting tape and organizing stuff just to try to get edits together. So like, or, you know, read about any Beatles session. There's like 81 takes, and this finished track is comprised of like take one, take eight, take 29, and take 82 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so fun. So much fun. But then I heard this producer podcast the other day, and he was like, it was fun, but I also don't miss it at all. Cause
yeah. Are you talking about the Brendan O'Brien interview by any chance?
Yes. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
I watched that too, and I mean there are people who are like, I read Tape Op, which is still like such a great magazine.
Yeah,
but
I'm a subscriber,
you know. There's like two sides, you know, of the old school producers. Some who are like, I love the old way, like it has value and is better than digital. And then like people like Brendan O'Brien who are like, yeah, I did it the old way, I'm not going back. Like, yeah. That way sucked.
Yeah.
And I would say a lot better.
More often than not, the producers are 100% on board with digital stuff now, because it does make their life so much easier. And they really have figured out a way to make everything sound, you know, pretty much the same through plugins and things.
I've listened to like audio engineer scientist type people talk about this, because, you know, analog vinyl has a sound, but it's mainly because it's like lower fidelity.
Right.
And there's just like friction going around, you know, either the record or on the cassette. And that's like part of what creates the ambiance to the music. But this guy was saying like, yeah, the digital recordings we have today, like the fidelity that you can record at is so far beyond what you could do on any analog system, which, you know, I think it's probably true. I can't like verify that, but it sounds true. It seems like there's something missing sometimes, but it could be
it's the performance. I mean, I think it just comes down to the performance when you're recording. I just think you play differently. On that Brendan O'Brien podcast, he says something too about like the tone is the player. It's not the, it doesn't matter.
It's not the mix.
It's not the mix. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And I think that's the main difference. If you're recording to tape or you're recording to a computer, it's all just in how you sort of how you make that happen. You know, I think you just have a different mindset when you're recording to tape. It's like, we have to get this right. You know, there's just, you just have a different thought process going into it. It's a different, it creates a different vibe overall. Yeah. In my experience,
it's those constraints.
It's way more stressful. It's way more stressful on tape, because you're like, I don't want to waste everyone's time. And like, this is expensive. And there's only so much, you know, it's just different. It's the limit. It goes back to the limits for sure.
I just wonder, I think about like, cause you can do I've seen Billie Eilish and her brother, like, show, you know, their editing sessions like on a computer, and just like, it'll be like every line, even like within a line, they'll have edits. They'll comp like the entire vocal track.
Yes, I've been in vocal comp sessions that were down to the syllable, and it's like, what are you doing? What is happening? This is so crazy.
Yeah. And I guess like if that's the the texture or the like style you're going for, where it's like ultra polished and there's, you know, you're hearing things. I mean, it's an art form. So, you know, there's, you know,
it's pop music. Pop music is totally different. That's a completely different thing. I think that works absolutely for pop music. For rock music or other things, maybe not.
Yeah. I think it just depends on, what you want to achieve.
I just want to go back to sloppiness. That's my trademark.
I wonder if that'll come back.
I'm gonna put that on a flag and start waving it around. Sloppiness 2024.
Well, I wonder if that'll come back in popular music, because there have been eras where, you know, kind of rougher sounding performances would be on the radio.
I think it's totally coming back. I think it's already. I think, because usually these things come back in the smaller markets. So you're starting to see this lo-fi, like music videos are starting to look shitty. Music is starting to like popular music is starting to like Mac DeMarco or TV Girl or some of these other and tons of music, tons of like The Garden. I don't know. There's a ton of bands I could yeah. name off right well, now that are all sort of like lo-fi.
Yeah, I know it's out there like sort of around
but in that the fringes. Stuff is but that stuff what I'm saying is that fringe stuff is starting to become popular. It's starting to make its way into the mainstream, and that's usually
yeah
an indicator that
I just saw the top five artists on according to Billboard this morning.
Yeah,
and
who are they?
None of them have that style. Let's see. It was Taylor Swift, Post Malone. I'm just from memory. Chapel Roan. I don't remember the last two, but those were the top three.
Yeah,
and those are all like Post super.
But Post Malone's starting to branch out into some like more like. I just heard him playing an acoustic guitar on something the other day.
He can play, yeah.
And he's got a good voice. And it's,
yeah.
I think that would be a really interesting. I saw him do during, he was doing like guest house sessions like during COVID. And he did a Nirvana track and like a couple other things. And it was just super, you know, raw live sessions.
Yes.
Yeah. Electric guitar. It was great. That actually made me sort of get into him a little bit. I dug in and just I dug into some of the catalog, and I found a few gems in there.
Yeah,
I think that guy can make a really cool record too. If it like outside of the pop realm or the you know whatever he, what is yeah. Post Malone considered? Is that pop music?
I think he's pop. Yeah, he's yeah. pop. Yeah, I just wonder it'd be pretty risky to make like a grungy lo-fi sounding record after all of the records he's made.
How
so
cool
far.
Would that be though? If people used to do cool. that stuff all the time. Like
it would be cool.
Popular artists used to shift their sound based on what was popular at the time. That was what pop music was. So it's like, oh, we'll yeah. make a disco album and then we'll do that. You know, it's like Blondie's doing like a rap song. Like things are just, it's, I wish people did stuff like that. Now it's just all,
I mean, it's kind of happening now. It seems like, especially like, I feel like in the last 2 years starting, it's not maybe starting with Beyonce, but Beyonce, like with her last Cowboy Carter album, like
the country music,
bringing in country feels yeah. like that seems to be happening across multiple like pop artists now.
Someone told me to listen to Shaboozy. I haven't listened to Shaboozy yet. Have you? But apparently that's another really good sort of like hip hop country thing going. I got it. Yeah. I gotta check it out. I got it on my list. It's lined up. I just haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah. There seems to be something, yeah, that hip-hop country.
I love that, personally. I mean,
seems to be percolating.
That Beyonce record is, I don't care what anybody says, it's incredible. So incredible.
Even the
all of it.
Jolene cover?
All of it.
Even the Jolene cover?
All of it. I love all of it.
I take issue with the Jolene cover.
I listened to that. My first reaction was, this is like the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I can't even believe that such a mega pop star made this album. It's so strange. Like if you listen to it from start to finish, it's like fully conceptual. There's all these little interludes. It's so weird. It's such a, if you listen to it as a weird album, it's like, what is this? It's crazy, but it's so good. That's the kind of stuff that it's like, I wish.
Yeah.
It's, you need to,
look, I don't want to talk listen. Trash on Beyonce. Cause I know she's, you know,
she's the queen
amazing
bee. You got it.
But
no, it's just
there's some filler on that album. It's a long album.
But that's the thing, it's so long, it's so crazy. I just can't believe that album was released is what I'm saying. And in the form that it was released, it's incredible that it exists, you know, because it yeah. is it's not like all just straight pop hits. It's just a wild roller coaster of weird music and
yeah.
mashups.
It's fun. It's fun to hear the little interludes too with Dolly and
yeah. You got Williams Dolly. You got Willie. Got I think a Shaboozy's on that record. I think too.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why somebody was telling me about it. They're like, you like that Beyonce record, right? You should check out Shaboozy's.
Yeah, yeah. Should we play a song and then actually talk about?
Oh, are we live? I thought we were
some things that yeah, are. Let's topical to not just you and me.
Do you want to play yours, or you want me to play? What's the deal? What's the deal here? Who's running this ship?
You can go first. You can go first, and then I'll play the next one.
I'm playing this new Shy Kid song, Spiritual Ego. I think that's a really cool name, and I'm a fan of album art and this photo with this sparkly hand playing piano is one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. So this is Spiritual Ego from Shy Kids.
That's on their upcoming album?
Yes.
I think?
Yes. They have an album coming out soon. It's called A Gathering of Batteries. and it is gonna be great. That song is
I'm
so
excited
good
about it.
How good is that? Yeah. Sax. I love a sax. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But man, that's such a tasteful sax.
Yeah. Now I'm excited about their new album. That should be really cool when it comes out.
Yeah. Big time.
Let's we took the summer off. Yeah. We took the summer off. We're back. We always intended to come back, but we figured
we just took a break.
We needed a break.
Lay off us, all right?
Also probably wanted a break from us.
It was too much.
Which I totally get.
We're gonna keep mixtape on hiatus. We're gonna keep that on.
Yeah, mixtape. We're gonna play a couple more songs during this podcast, and then maybe we'll bring mixtape back in some other form later. But for now,
one thing, this little spoiler alert, we're going to be adding stats for podcasts. So maybe once we see if anyone is actually listening to this show, maybe we'll consider bringing the second one back.
We're flying in the dark, basically.
Yeah, really, we're like, yeah, let's.
But we are seeing, no one even we're seeing said zaps anything. And all that. We're seeing zaps and all that. We have been seeing those along the way, so it's not been completely blind.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, so we appreciate all
those. We did have
some
listener mail.
But
oh, yeah, we got our mailbag, too. We can't forget about that.
Yeah, but I haven't. We went real, off the cuff today, so I have not collated the mail.
And I was going to say I could just go back really quickly and find some, but I can't because you broke the activity feed.
I didn't. It's just under construction. So some things are unavailable right now.
We're working slightly unavailable.
Diligently to get it back. For any studio users out there, we're clean. Actually, all the users of wavelake.com, we're cleaning up quite a bit. Unlike the wallet page and the settings page. Actually, real quick, should we say the big thing about like lightning addresses?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about that quick.
Yeah, go for it.
So if you have a Wavelake wallet now, you also have a wavelake.com lightning address. So it's just your username at lightning or
lightningaddress.com.net, I think is what it is actually.
It's your username at wavelake.com. So my lightning address, for example, is radio@wavelake.com, which is also on my Nostr Wavelake? Profile. I don't know, man.
Giraffe?
It's been a long week and it's only Tuesday.
I know.
You can put that on your Nostr profile. You can share it with your friends and, you know, get payments to that address. That will actually help us enable a bunch of other cool things.
Yeah, there's a reason for it. We're not just rolling it out for the sake of doing it. We got big plans.
Yeah. So that's one announcement. Was there anything else like on the
no, that's all we did
development side?
On the development side? Wallets. Did you say that you can connect your wallet? That's a big.
Oh right,
like,
yeah.
You gotta wait. Like if you started on Wavelake before the mobile app existed, and you have a wallet there, you could technically connect it through Nostr Wallet Connect, but no one knows what that is. So, Michael and Josh made it very easy for you to just log out and log back in. And if you have a wallet, you can connect it incredibly simply now. So, that's great. And that's really great because you can just do the one tap zaps instead of having to leave the app. So that's very nice. And if you have, I mean, it's really cool because my Lightning address is now attached to my Nostr profile. So zaps that I'm getting are refueling from, you know, just regular posts on Nostr are now fueling my wallet for zaps that I'm sending to artists. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. We're going to be building a lot of stuff on top of just these sort of foundational wallet integrations. So more to come on that.
Stay tuned.
Later.
Y'all.
Yeah, later. We took the summer off, but a bunch of stuff happened during the summer.
Yeah, we took the summer off this show, not off from working. We did quite a bit of work.
Yeah. So... I mean, the big kind of flagship Bitcoin event was in Nashville at the end of July, which we were at. And that was fun. We also had our big concert party shindig at the Vinyl Lounge.
Yeah, we did. We should talk about
that. Was great.
In depth, like, about all of these things.
Yeah, I mean, let's just start there. I mean, that was such a just such a fun night.
Yeah,
I got to meet a bunch of people that, like, I only knew by their, you know, usernames and handles and things.
Yeah, and, it was very cool.
Yeah, it was just it was. I mean, you know, we've been at this for a little while, and, like, you know, typically it's either you and I talking, or, you know, it's you, me, and Josh, or we're just, like, sort of cloistered outside of the, like, living world in our own, you know, universe, building this stuff seemingly, like, for no one. But to go to that...
Just picture it as
to go to that event.
A hut in, like, a post-apocalyptic world right now.
I mean, that's... That. It kind of feels like that way sometimes. But yeah, but seeing all those people come out, like seeing all the music, like meeting people like Ainsley and Joe Martin and Just Loud for the first time.
Live, perform live too. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
That we saw Joe Martin play.
Yeah.
Saw Ainsley.
Yeah. It was just like, it was just like a treat. It was just a real treat to, like, kind of have all those people come together and be able to just enjoy a night together.
And we know we've heard you play drums on this show, but we also got to see you play drums live. I got to see you play drums on a Blink 182 song, followed by a Billy Joel song. That combo, I don't think, has ever been attempted in the history of music. So that was a nice little rock block you had there.
That was the first time I played drums in front of people, like in that kind of a setting.
Man, and how that honored was, I am to have been there to witness that and film it and post it online.
Which I didn't know anything about until, like, a day later. And people like, I saw you in this video playing drums. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I was sniping from the rafters.
How? That was really fun, though. But I'm, like, determined to learn that all the small things drum part properly for some other... unknown, unexpected time where that could be sprung on me again.
Next time you have to play Chop Suey by System of a Down. That's the song that is going to spring on you next. No, you did great. Yeah. And that was fun. Yeah. So, I mean, just a recap of the night. We had a show at the Vinyl Lounge, which was attached to the Vinyl Lab, which we'll talk about in a second. The owners of the Vinyl Lounge were super cool. They let a bunch of nerds come in there and put on a show. We had, we had the Higher Low open. We had Just Loud played, which was great to see him and his band. We had Ainsley play and we had Joe Martin play, and Frank Corvo even popped in and played a song that was cool he's from Bitcoin Magazine. And he's an old music dude too. And, Satoshi Rakamoto after the karaoke, that was nuts. It ended the night with Devil Went Down to Georgia, which was just. At the end of the night, I was like, guys, you have to cut it off. We're turning, like, we're shutting the board off here if you don't quit. And they're like, let us do one more. And the last song was Devil Went Down to Georgia, which I thought it was a joke. I didn't realize they were serious. But then they proceeded to absolutely nail it. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
So late at night. But yeah, it was fun. We had, like, you know, 500 people come through. We, like you said, we met a lot of people. We saw a lot of people perform. And that venue they were actually pretty impressed by it. And this month in August, they've been doing every Monday sessions there too, with a similar sort of, they have a house band and, like, an open mic night. I watched it last night. It's really cool. You just get up and sort of show the chords to the band and they're like, all right, we'll just improv and play with you. It's really interesting. And Jim and Julie put that on with Phantom Power and Toonster Streams everything. It's really cool. So, definitely left a little bit of an impact there in Nashville as a result of that show. So that was really cool to see. And, other things around there. I mean, we had a record come out. So we've talked about it before. We did that contest. The tracks ended up being compiled. There were 11 of them and we put them on a record. We pressed the record and we pressed it at the Vinyl Lab, which is attached to the Vinyl Lounge and owned by the same people. And it just turned out so cool. The art's by Paul Birkin. Shout out to Paul Birkin. Does our has helped us with a lot of things in the past. He's a great dude. And yeah, so the art turned out really cool. It's an orange record. It sounds amazing. The tracks on it are all really super top notch. So I was excited for that. They were selling it at the conference, and we ended up snagging a few copies. So you can, if you want to buy one, you can get one at the Lightning store. And what else on that? Anything else on that record?
I mean, the only thing is like just a little Easter egg that there's a block number etched.
Oh, yeah.
And the inner ring of
that was
record,
the first thing. That was the first thing one of my friends asked. He's like, did you put anything on the etching? And I was like, sure did.
Yeah. And that was so that's me. It's the date, I think, that the contest ended. It's like right around
that's
that date. So that's a cool little bonus.
Yeah, it was a fun thing. We really didn't think we've always sort of joked about doing a record or some kind of compilation. I think we even talked about it with didn't we talk about it with Carr at one point on his podcast?
Like these were like comp. Pipe dreams at the time, it seemed like.
Yeah, it ended up happening a lot faster than we thought. So that was really fun. Yeah. So thanks to everyone over there for helping us put that thing together.
Yeah.
And all the bands that participated and submitted. So it's really cool. Go check it out.
And then also like the Bands at Bitcoin event that Jim and Julie and like I don't know how many like dozens of
there
musicians
so many
they got together
that. Yeah,
over at the Embassy Suites, which was across the street from the convention hall. I spent like I probably spent an equal amount of time at both the conference itself and at the Embassy Suites watching.
I feel like I spent more time at the Embassy Suites, especially that last day.
Day I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday there was Saturday I didn't spend a lot of time in the conference hall. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, same here.
It was a little gnarly.
But that was great to see all those. That was great to see all those bands play. Joe Ainsley and Just Loud like performed together, I think, near the end of that last day.
They did a sort of on the fly cover of Let It Be. That was really fun.
Yeah. And what was nice about it was like throughout there's just random like hotel guests kind of wandering through, wondering like, what is this? Who are these weirdos? Like,
well, it was cool. Because at the end of the night, they did the happy hour for the hotel. So a ton of people ended up kind of shuffling in for the free food and free booze and ended up getting a good show. So that was cool.
Yeah, it was nice. It was just really neat that like, that those musicians that were part of the event were able to like kind of be playing for people outside of just this.
And there was a point that
community
night
of ours
where there were, I was counting, I was trying to remember how many, there were just so many artists in that room that whose music is on Wavelake. So it was like Bobby Shell was there. Martin Grooms was there. Sarah Jade, of course, Just Loud, Ainsley and Joe Martin, who else? I mean, they're just that Chris Wensky dude was there.
Yeah.
So many people. So I wanted to get like a huge group photo, but that dream didn't work out. Didn't work out, but it would have been fun because that was definitely the biggest gathering of juggalos I think that Wavelake has ever had.
Yeah.
And it was all because of Julie and Jim and Phantom Power and everybody who put that together. They're doing some really cool stuff over there. So I want to give a shout out to them too, because they're really going for it and helping things move along.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, all that stuff. I mean, all of this is just exciting to see just come to fruition. Because everyone's been kind of quietly working, you know, behind computers and remotely and all that. We're all in different locations and
just not having all of this sort stuff of was happening come together. Last year or 2 years ago. You know, it's like 2 years ago there was no talk of music, and then the next year it's like a little bit, you know, sort of on the kind of in the periphery of what's going on. And then, you know, this year they're, I mean, despite the fact that a lot of the content at the conference was, you know, like political or infrastructure or mining based or that kind of stuff, they still on, they had two back to back music panels, which was really cool, you know, and that's something that, you wouldn't expect to see at a conference like that. So that was great.
Yeah. And we connected with some people at the conference who were sort of new to this idea. And I like you and I both talked to a bunch of people either at our booth or
We met homeless Moses at the booth.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's got some great music.
Yeah. And actually the song I wanted to play, I met one of the, I think, founders of Cannabis Records.
Yeah.
At the conference as well.
Cool.
And actually, maybe this is a good time to play a song from one of their bands.
Yeah, do it.
The Retrograde.
Yes.
This is on
great band.
An album that just came out. And yeah, let's just play it. It's Closer to Somewhere.
More than a tasteful sax.
What's that?
Tasteful claps. Some great claps in that jam. Man, what a good song. Great
there,
chords.
Yeah,
great chords.
It's there. I've listened to that album through a couple times now. It's really good.
It's a solid really record. Good.
Yeah. But anyway,
moving on.
It was great. It was great to meet all those folks, including like the founder of that record label and all the artists and like even a few fans out there. So What else happened this summer, Sam?
Well, we did the Totem too in Nashville. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
You know that
this was a giant jukebox.
That thing. We built it a giant. giant jukebox. It was two screens.
Giant zappable jukebox.
One screen was like a ranking.
Yeah.
Based on sats. One screen was like the, you know, sort of like a faux digital jukebox. It's kind of fun looking, you know.
Yeah.
It's very flashy, very kind of 8-bit looking, very Mario 2, Super Mario 2. That was the inspiration. Yeah. It was cool. It wasn't really a jukebox. I think that kind of confused people, but you know, we couldn't make it a jukebox. People don't have that kind of time. You can't sit there and wait for your song to play. So we just put together a huge playlist of about 250 really incredible songs that played throughout the day. And it would show the track that was playing, and then it would flip to a QR code, and you could scan and pay the artist from the conference. And then, if you're really with it, and you were using a cool wallet like Zeus, you could drop a little comment, and that comment would show up on the board. So, some people figured that out, and they were not only was it showing up on the board, it was showing up on the huge dome that this was the center of inside of it. So there's this huge dome in the conference, and your message would show up on the dome for a few seconds. So that was fun, and people figured it out, and they were shilling, you know, various projects and films and shit coins and things like that. So that was cool.
I love that in the broadcast with like the, you know, commentators covering the conference, you could see it in the background.
See it in the background. Yeah.
You could make it out in the background, and not almost... that anyone in the world would know what the hell that was. I got a kick out of the fact that it was on those live streams.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, that's just another example of like, that wasn't, you know, I don't know. We wouldn't have had an opportunity to do anything like that a couple years ago. So really cool. And again, thanks to the conference crew for putting that together. Some really cool people over there that sort of kept music as a part of this thing, you know, and as with it being in Nashville. So that was a cool thing. And it's in Vegas next year. I don't know. Is there like, maybe Thunder Games will have the centerpiece for that one, and they'll have like blackjack or something. It'll be a blackjack in the dome. That'd be kind of fun. Okay. What else?
So the jukebox that, you know, that big display in the conference reminds me that there are a couple things that happened in like the last month or so that are, I think, kind of cool. One is Sam Samsky's, developer extraordinaire.
Oh yeah.
Made this like playlist party mode website that essentially like takes a playlist that you make on Wavelake, and then it creates this, you know, full screen party mode player. And he laid out the artwork and, you know, the
it's really
titles
cool.
And everything real nicely.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really cool. And I think it shows, like, I'd love to see more of that, just people doing kind of cool, weird, crazy things with the content.
This guy, Zach, on Noster, do you follow Zach?
Do you follow someone named
Zach? He's making a... like a visualizer, like a music visualizer.
Nice.
And I was like, look, dude, we're going to need that for Wavelake. So
I'm
hoping that ends up being on showing up on GitHub, and we can tie that into maybe we can get Samsky's to tie that into his playlist thing, or maybe we can figure out a way to drop it on somewhere, because a visualizer would be really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Be super fun.
And then the other like party mode display related thing is that Nostriga happened recently.
Oh yeah.
And I remember X Frog, who's one of the organizers, or he's like the sound guy or something. I think we chatted in Nashville actually. And he's like, hey, is there a way we can play like Wavelake music somehow in between sessions? I'm like, yeah. So I explained to him how it worked. I submitted a PR to, you know, their, the conference's GitHub repo where they're organizing talks and all that.
Yeah.
And then like a few days ago, I saw people posting pictures of the jukebox or party mode playing on the big screen at the conference between sessions.
Awesome.
So that was really cool. So thanks for, thanks to the organizers of Nostrica for putting that together. You know, I think artists earned something from that. I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. I mean, that's great. Just, it's really cool. That's just another really great example of how this library can kind of be portable and go anywhere. And
yeah,
people can be discovered from all around the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these things, I just think it's just really encouraging to see it happening. I think we still have like a ton of a ways to go. We're still in the very early stages.
Think
so? Yes. But it's great. It's just great to see that progress because
we're reaching,
you know,
dozens of people right now.
Dozens. There's dozens of us. But, you know, it's like we're working pretty hard at this. And so any kind of like mile markers to see along the way are just,
it's progress,
more motivation.
It's progress. Yeah. We're making waves.
That's right.
Or you have the drum kit. Okay. Well, dang, I feel like there's so much more, but you know, I don't know. Go find it. If we don't have to talk, if all the little stuff people know already, they follow us on the socials and they've seen the panels and they get the mailing list. They know what's going on. I'm just happy to be back. We're back.
I think, yeah, this was, I think this is a warm up episode where we're getting back into the swing of things.
We're loose. So, if this was an album, this would be Muswell Hillbillies today. And that's the callback to the beginning of the show and probably a good place to end it. Let's play. You want to play one more song?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we've played this song before. Oh, great. I already lost it. I'm going to have to pull it up again. I'm pretty sure we played this song before. Somewhere, probably on mixtape. It's always on my playlist, and I don't know, maybe this isn't like a track this maybe isn't like a something I would normally listen to. If this was in popular music, I might not have caught wind of this, but that's the cool thing about Wave Lake is you hear songs and you're just like, man, I just like that song, you know, it's so cool. And I've since gone back and listened to a ton of Aiden Fine songs. They are quite fine songs. But this, I find this song Gold stuck in my head at least once a week, at least. And I love, and you know, we'll end the show. We won't come back after this. So I'm just going to get all my talking out. I like a tasteful sax. I like tasteful claps. And I really like when there's little shouts of the word hey in the background, and there's a bunch of those in this track, and it's my favorite thing about it. It's just a little hey, little like hype haze. So here's Gold by Aiden Fine, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Good to be back.
See you guys.
Bye.
If everything you touch would turn to gold, would you save me from myself or let me go? Cause I'm on my own, and I'm running, and I'm running, and you touch my soul, and I'm wondering, and I'm wondering, and I'm wondering if everything you touch would turn to gold. Would you save me from myself or let me go? Cause I'm on my own, and I'm running, and I'm running, and you touch my soul. And I'm wondering, and I'm wondering, and I'm wondering if
rain falls, hey. Blue tears, same lows, hey. New fears,
ain't gon' leave. Press up, this ain't last week. Chest up, you won't get me. Never, you won't get me.
Killer in the mind, we the prey though. Way too many homies with a halo. God, miss a game, yeah, angel. To the sunshine, I'ma have to let the rain flow. Sometimes I'm moments from my way to you. Something I could say to you.
If everything you touch would turn to gold, would you save me from myself or let me go? Cause I'm on my own, and I'm running, and I'm running, and you touch my soul. And I'm wondering, and I'm wondering, and I'm wondering if everything you touch would turn to gold, would you save me from myself or let me go? Cause I'm on my own, and I'm running, and I'm running, and you touch my soul. And I'm wondering, and I'm wondering, and I'm wondering if
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.